coming into the holiday season, as is very obvious. Aren't the decorations pretty? Enjoying them? Beautiful, aren't they? Coming into the holiday season, and by that I'm talking about Thanksgiving and leading into Christmas and New Year's. And at holiday time, that's usually when family and friends usually have a lot of togetherness time. Meals, and games, and gift exchanging, and parties, and helping others. Our bulletin has opportunities with the Thanksgiving and Christmas baskets. We've got musical celebrations. Lots of togetherness time during the holidays. And as I think about the holidays, since friendship is such a big part of holiday activities, I thought it might be interesting for us to spend a little time this morning doing a partial Bible survey, looking at just some of the things the Bible says about friendship. So you better grab a Bible if you want to follow along, because I don't have it on the screen. We're going to be just kind of going through some of the text in the Bible that talk about friendship. I want to start by looking at some of the Old Testament passages that talk about people being friends of God. And by the way, there are not very many in the Old Testament. I'd like to start with Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33, and starting with verse 7. Exodus chapter 33. Starting with verse 7. I'm reading from the same Bible that's in the pews in front of you, the New International Version. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the Tent of Meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances to their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. That's a key phrase, because as I look at Bible passages where it talks about people being friends with God, inevitably, there's something about God talking with them that's involved in friendship. While the Lord spoke with Moses, whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. There's a reference to friendship. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide, Joshua, the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Friendship evidently has to do with communication. And in this context that we're looking at, just a few references in the Old Testament of friendship with God, it's people talking with God, God talking with people. Now, I realize that when we begin this topic, it's a big challenge because, well, first of all, we have these Old Testament stories or these Old Testament references to God talking to people, visions and dreams, and here it says face to face, and yet later on, if you look at the story, it says Moses didn't really see God, just kind of the back parts of God. And then later on, as we look at some New Testament passages where people are friends of God, they're actually talking, seeing Jesus. And when someone says to me today, God told me, I'll be honest with you, that's a red flag. You know, it's like, oh yeah? God really told you that? We have a tendency to kind of back away from God talking to people. And yet as I look at the Bible, everyone that's called a friend of God is someone God talked with. Does God talk differently to us today? Perhaps. Just an observation for you to put it out there and think about. So Moses was referred to as a friend of God. God spoke with Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Let's move to Abraham in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Okay? So boys and girls, young people, when you learn the books of the Bible in school, if your teacher has you do that, I still remember it from grade school. If you use it, you don't lose it. It comes in handy. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. And I'm just going to read verse 7, which is someone talking about Abraham. It's really a prayer, Jehoshaphat having a prayer. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 7, he says, O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham? What does the next word say? Your friend. Your friend. Abraham. And again, we don't have the time to look at all the background to all these stories and look at the time when God talked to Abraham. We know that he talked to him in a vision and a dream when he told Abraham to take his son Isaac to offer him. When he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, God spoke to him. So again, Abraham is referred to as a friend of God. I'm going to give you a couple of references. I'm not going to look at them and read them, but they basically say the same thing as Abraham being a friend of God. And that is Isaiah 41:8, if you're taking reference. Isaiah 41:8 talks about, very similar to this, is Abraham being God's friend, and so does James chapter 2, verse 23, talks about Abraham as being a friend of God. Then I'm going to go to the book of Job. Got to get to Job. There's a lot of struggles back and forth that Job had in his relationship with God and what was going on there. Job 29. This is Job talking. You know, when you read the book of Job, it's helpful to know who's talking, because he's got some quote-unquote friends that do some talking that at the end of the book, God says, these friends didn't speak of me what was right, but Job did. So, Job chapter 29, starting with verse 1. Job continued his discourse, and this is what he says. How I long for the months gone by. You ever do that? You think back on better days, quote, unquote, better days. You long, you wish you could go back. How I long for the months gone by, for the days when God watched over me. He's implying that God's kind of hiding his face from him right now. When his lamp shone upon my head, and by his light I walked through darkness. Oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house. When the Almighty was still with me, and my children were around me, when my path was drenched with cream. That's an interesting metaphor, isn't it? And the rock poured out for me streams of olive oil. Job talked about that when things were going good with God, and Job, you read the stories, that you read the discussion going on in the book of Job, and you have Job talking to God, and you have God talking to Job, and Job is referring to God as his relationship with God as being a friendship. As far as using the actual word friend, that's just with God, that's about it for the Old Testament. Very, very little. Now, there were some people, when we get into the life of Jesus, who we believe, we teach, Seventh-day Adventists teach that Jesus was God in the flesh. So we're talking still about a relationship with God if we're talking about a relationship with Jesus. We have several people that are referred to as friends when Jesus was here. Let's jump to the New Testament and look at some. Let's start with Matthew 20. And I think I did these in chronological order, so you can just move right along and not have to go back and forth. Matthew chapter 20, verse 13. That's interesting. This is a parable. It's a parable of workers in the vineyard. And in this parable, we have Jesus talking to people who are someone who is complaining to Jesus about Jesus being unfair. They're saying, in this parable, they're saying, you're treating this person just as good as you did me, and he didn't do as much work as I did. That's not fair. And so Jesus, in this parable, the king is answering him, God is answering him, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 13, but he answered one of them. What does he call him? Friend. He says, friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired the last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? Jesus is calling someone who's questioning him, and what he's doing, he's calling him a friend, but he's still talking to him. I think that's an important key element, that even when a person questions the way Jesus does things, they can still go to Jesus and talk to him, and that's okay. Jesus says, I can still call you friend because you're talking to me. That's more important than not coming to him with your questions. So this person comes to Jesus, you're not fair. Jesus said, I know what I'm doing. I can do with my money as I so choose. And he still calls him friend. All right, turn a couple chapters to Matthew chapter 22. Again, we have another parable. Matthew chapter 22. And in Matthew 22, we have the parable of the wedding banquet. That's the one where lots of people were invited, and the host comes through and he sees someone in there without wearing a, talk to me, wedding garment. Okay, there's someone in there without a wedding garment. And so this is, in a sense, kind of like a judgment scene we've been taught. And starting with verse 11, but when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes, the NIV says, or a wedding garment. And what does he call him? Friend. He says, friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? And the man was speechless. He had no answer. He said, you know, he had no legitimate excuse. He could have put one on. He was speechless. And so even though he's put out, the attitude of the king is still one of friendship. I think that's a key thing to keep in mind as we think of how God deals with people that maybe get some pretty tough treatment sometimes. God's attitude is still, I want you to be my friend. It's a key thing to remember. Okay, let's look at the one who betrayed Jesus. Matthew 26. That's Judas. We're coming to the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is just about ready to be captured. Matthew 26, starting with verse 47. This is the arrest of Jesus. While he was still speaking, Jesus is talking to some of his disciples. Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. Jesus replied, friend, do what you came for. Isn't that interesting? The attitude of God towards the one who is betraying him, Jesus still says, friend. Still says, friend. Very interesting. Moving to the next book. Two books later. Let's go to Luke. A lot of times there's duplication in the books. You know, Matthew and Luke will say the same thing, or Mark and Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Looking at Jesus again. Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 17. This is a healing scene. Luke 5, starting with verse 17. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw, so he's looking up, I get the picture, when he looked up and saw their faith, he said to the person in front of him, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Friend, your sins are forgiven. So when people come to Jesus with their challenges, the attitude of Jesus is, "That's a friend. That's a friend. When you come to me, I want you." The picture that I keep getting is people coming to God. Even though they don't understand what God's doing, they still keep going to God, and God calls them friend. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 7. Like I said, we're just doing kind of a brief survey, overall survey, just putting together a lot of pieces of the puzzle here. Luke chapter 7, verses 33 and 34. This is some people talking about John the Baptist and comparing him with Jesus. Luke chapter 7, verses 33 and 34. "For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say," this is Jesus talking, "you say he has a demon." He was a real austere, straight-laced kind of guy. "You say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." Interesting. Other people referred to Jesus as a friend of struggling people, the people who were down and out. Others called him a friend of others who were struggling and having difficult times. Doesn't that say something about what people think about God? People that know him, people that watched him at work. Luke 12, moving right along. Luke chapter 12, verse 4. This is Jesus doing some talking. Jesus talking to thousands of people. And he just simply says to the multitude, a crowd of many thousands, verse 1 had said, had gathered so that they were trampling on one another. Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against so-and-so and so forth." But then he says, "I tell you, my friends," just wanted to read it because that's a reference to friendship. "My friends, do not be afraid of those." Sounds like presidential debates, doesn't it? Somebody kept saying that. "My friends." I just thought of that when I was reading that. Let's go to the book of John. John chapter 11. Just a couple more here of Jesus. Then we'll look at just a few from the Old Testament again, talking about friendship in general. John chapter 11. This is at the death of Lazarus. And Jesus, of course, was very close to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." I've thought of that many times in thinking of the resurrection. You know, here's someone who's resurrected. And in Revelation, Jesus is referred to as the one who has the keys to the grave. If you've been locked in a room, been locked in something, and your friend has the keys, isn't that good news? If you're locked in a room and the friend is out there with the key, they can get you out. And in the same sense, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, and he was locked in the grave. But since Jesus has the keys to the grave, he can get him out. So if the graves are locked before Jesus comes, that's okay. He's a friend, and he's got the keys. John 15. That's where our scripture reading was from. Jesus was talking to his disciples. John 15, starting with verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. Right there, Jesus said, if you do, he told his disciples, if you do what I ask you to do, you live in relationship with me, you follow me, you are my friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Jesus told his disciples that as they grew in relationship with him, understood him better, knew his ways better, they transitioned from servants to friends. Transitioning from servants to friends. Let's look at one other passage in the New Testament here. John 21. John 21. This is when, after the resurrection, the disciples were out on the lake fishing. Jesus appeared to them. They were depressed. They were discouraged. They wondered what was going on with Jesus, you know. They went back to fishing. Verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, friends, haven't you any fish? Are you struggling? Having a difficult time? Listen to Jesus call you friend. He'll work with you." Now, those are just some brief passages where it's referred to our relationship, people's relationship with God and friendship. Quickly, I'm just going to look at a few passages where it talks about human friendship. Let's go back to the book of Job. We're going to go again chronologically here. Look at just a few. Job chapter 6 is the first one. Some of these are really kind of interesting. You know, some of the wisdom, we're going to look at primarily wisdom literature, it's referred to as. Some wise sayings in the Bible. Job chapter 6, starting with verse 14. A despairing man should have the devotion of his friends, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. Do you get what that's saying? That's saying if you have a friend that you know is struggling, if you have a friend who has forsaken God, Job is saying that person still should have the devotion of their friends. A despairing man should have the devotion of his friends, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. But my brothers are as undependable as intermittent streams, as the streams that overflow when darkened by thawing ice and swollen with melting snow, but that cease to flow in the dry season and in the heat vanish from their channels. Job is saying, you know, so many friends are just off and on, here, there, gone, here, there, instead of being consistent. Consistent, even though they forsake God, they need the devotion of their friends. Proverbs. Let's move ahead to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. You know, people who are too quick to trust other people? There's some wisdom here. If we want to be righteous, if we want to be wise, be cautious. That means you just because you think you're a follower of God doesn't mean you got to be good friends with everybody. Some people are not trustworthy. A righteous man is cautious in friendship. Why is that? Because the wicked leads them astray. So be careful. Be careful. Okay? Proverbs 16. That was some good advice there. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Have you known somebody like that? You've been friend forever with somebody, and somebody comes around and starts telling fibs and fables and stuff, and it can wreck friendships that have been built on years and years and years of trust. Be careful. Be careful with gossips. Don't let that just rip apart friendships based on rumors. Be careful. Front of the bulletin is the next one. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. What do your friends do for you? Do they build you up? Do they help you? Do they support you? Or do they hang in there? Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verses 24 and 25. This is interesting. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered. You may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Be careful with getting too close with someone who flies off the handle all the time. If it's your boss, be careful. Do not make friends with hot-tempered people. Be careful. All right, a couple more. This is a very interesting one to me. Proverbs 27. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to think that if a person is a friend, all they'll say is nice things to us. Listen to what Proverbs 27, verse 6 says. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Just because somebody kisses up to you doesn't mean they're a friend. Many times, a true friend will say something that will hurt if it's based on good motives. Sometimes we need to do that in our relationships with others. Sometimes we need to say things that's the truth that hurts. It goes from parents to kids, teachers, goes in all sorts of relationships. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Let me read one other passage from the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, starting with verse 9. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. This next verse is interesting. I'm sure there's some metaphorical meaning. But if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Have you noticed that from friends supporting, helping, encouraging? Kind of a hodgepodge, a potpourri of some biblical thoughts on friendship. And I want to close by reading a little poem. It's not really a poem. It's Beatitudes. Someone sent this to me, and it could be someone here because I didn't keep track of who sent it to me, but I copied it off and tweaked it just a tad, and I've entitled it Beatitudes for Friends of the Aged. Because sometimes, you know, as we get a little older, Life can be challenging. This is called Beatitudes for Friends of the Aged. Blessed are they who understand my faltering step and palsied hand. Blessed are they who know that my ears today must strain to catch the things they say. Blessed are they who seem to know that my eyes are dim and my wits are slow. Blessed are they who look away when drink spilled at the table today. Blessed are they with a cheery smile who stop to chat for a little while. Blessed are they who never say, "You've told that story twice today." Blessed are they who know the ways to bring back memories of yesterdays. Blessed are they who make it known that I'm loved, respected, and not alone. Blessed are they who know I'm at a loss to find the strength to carry on. Blessed are they who, in loving ways, ease the days on my journey. Father, we're thankful for friendship. Thank you that you want us to have a friendship with you, and you are there, even though we don't always see you. You are there speaking words of comfort and help. Help us to be good friends with one another as we live and wait for your coming, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your love.